Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Such is the reading of Hebrews 4, verses 14 through 16. Jesus Christ serves in many roles. He is the Redeemer, He is the Savior of man. He is the preacher of salvation and the prophet of truth. He is our example, He is our guide. We want now to consider Him as our High Priest, as He is identified so frequently in the book of Hebrews. Now the New Testament shows that every Christian is a priest. Christians are to be a holy priesthood, 1 Peter 2 and verse 5. They are called an elect race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. John said in Revelation 1 and verse 6, He made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. There is no special priesthood class as that which characterized the Jewish system and some religious systems today. Jesus, however, is more than just a priest. He is our high priest. In Hebrews 3 and verse 1, Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostles and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Now, one of the prime purposes of the book of Hebrews was to prevent Jewish brethren from leaving the faith and returning to the Mosaic system that had been nailed to the cross and taken out of the way. Those who read the book of Hebrews would understand the nature of the Mosaic priesthood composed of the Levites. The Holy Spirit used that ancient priesthood to describe and compare and contrast the high priest, Jesus, with what had been formerly, showing in this way the superiority of the priesthood of Christ. And a logical question in the Jewish mind would be, why change the priesthood? The priesthood was the basis for the old law, inasmuch as the priests taught it, they practiced it, they led the people in it, they performed their duties accordingly. And when there was a change of law, there was of necessity a change of the priesthood, and vice versa, Hebrews 7, 11 and 12. The old law could not accomplish what the new covenant could accomplish. The old law was but a shadow of things to come, Hebrews 10 and verse 1. And Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant, Hebrews 9, 15. And in Hebrews 8, 6 and 7, But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much more also is he the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. Now, not just anyone would qualify for a priest under the Mosaic system. Certain qualifications were necessary before one could be made a priest, before one could be made a high priest. Every high priest had to be taken from among men, however, Hebrews 5 and verse 1. Then the reason for choosing a man as high priest is because the priest must be the one who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. Hebrews 5 and verse 2. The high priest needed to be one who could be sympathetic and understanding of the trials and the difficulties of those whom he served and those whom he led. And these men were to be descendants of Aaron, Exodus 28, 1 through 4. And Aaron, like Moses, was of the tribe of Levi. Now Jesus is a high priest now that fills the role as one who is sympathetic and understanding of mankind. He has been tried, he has been tempted, he has lived as a human being here upon this earth in the midst of all the difficulties that mankind faces. This is one of the reasons he became flesh and assumed the form of man. The devil tempted Jesus, not only in the wilderness after his temptation in Matthew 4, but throughout all of his life here upon this earth. But even though he was tempted, he did not sin. Hebrews 4:15 and 1 Peter 2 and verse 21. Jesus knew success. Jesus knew failure. He knew suffering. He knew betrayal and poverty and slander and hunger and sorrow. And in John 11, verse 35, we read, Jesus wept. By his mission to this world of sin and sorrow, he could know the plight of the one that he came to serve and that one he came to save. Now, the Levitical priest were to be called of God. None could take that service upon himself at his own will. Aaron was called to be the first high priest, and that priesthood was to remain among his descendants. Impostors, ambitious ones, they would rise up at times, assume that place, but one could not seize that office except it be God's will. And Christ was also appointed by the Father to be our high priest. Even the Son of God did not presumptuously assume this place. Hebrews 5:5 tells us, So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my Son, today have I begotten thee. God, the Father, designated Jesus to this high priesthood. And Jesus was faithful to the one that appointed him, Hebrews 3 and verse 2. And as noted, the Israelite priest came from the tribe of Levi. But Jesus was not of that tribe. He was the tribe of Judah, Hebrews 7 and verse 14. And this is another reason there was a change in the priesthood and a change in the law. Christ is not a priest after the order of the Levites. But he is spoken of repeatedly as being a priest after the order of one named Melchizedek. Now, who was this man, Melchizedek? In what way was Christ a priest after his order? Well, we first read about Melchizedek in Genesis chapter 14, when Abraham was returning from the rescue of Lot from the hands of certain invading kings. And on his way from victory, Abraham met Melchizedek, who is called King of Salem and priest of the Most High God. And let us just note here quickly that he was priest and king, and priest and king at the same time. Melchizedek blessed Abraham, and Abraham gave tithes unto Melchizedek. Now this event depicts the superiority of Melchizedek over Abraham, just as the priesthood of Jesus is superior to that of the descendants of Abraham, namely through the Levites. If the priesthood of Melchizedek was superior to the father of the priestly tribe, how much more is Jesus superior, since he is a priest after the order of Melchizedek? It is also said of Melchizedek that he was without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Hebrews 7 and verse 3. You see, friend, this man was a type of the Christ that was to come. These words denote the eternal nature of the Christ and his deity. But it has reference to the priesthood of Melchizedek. He did not inherit his priesthood from his ancestors. We don't know where it came from. We don't know when it ended. But he was a type of the one that was to come that would be a priest eternally. Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek, and through Abraham his descendants paid tithes to Melchizedek. The Levite priest through Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek, Hebrews 7, 9, and 10. And this shows the superiority of the one over the other, the superiority of Melchizedek over the priestly tribe that came through Levi. The high priest under Moses' system had certain duties to perform. They offered sacrifices and gifts, Hebrews 8 and verse 3. So Christ should have something to offer. And what he offered was himself, Hebrews 7 and verse 27. Now the tabernacle of the Jews was divided into two parts, the holy place, where all the priests did their labors, and the most holy place, where only the high priest would go before God, and that once per year, to offer blood for the sins of the people, Hebrews 9, 6 and 7. Now these sacrifices were not capable, however, of taking away sins, animal sacrifices, Hebrews 10 and verse 4. But they had to be offered continually, Hebrews 7, 27 and 9, 12 and 10, 1. But Christ offered one sacrifice of himself, and this was sufficient. What the offerings under the old law might be illustrated as rolling a snowball year by year toward the fire of the cross. And there at the cross, even the sins under the first covenant were melted away. Now there's a distinctive difference in what the Levitical priest offered and what Christ offered, in that the Levitical priest also offered for their own sins as well as the sins of the people. But Christ, having no sin, offered no sacrifice for himself. But please take note what Jesus has done. I read to you from Hebrews chapter 9. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and of ashes of a heifer sprinkling and unclean sanctifieth through the purification of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And again in this same chapter, for Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, not yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others, for then he must have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once, in the end of the world, he hath appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Friend, this simply teaches us that as high priest, Jesus served as priest, and he was also the sacrifice that was offered. And his sacrifice was sufficient for all time, there being no need for the repetition of it. And this is repeatedly emphasized in the book of Hebrews. Our high priest is now on the right hand of God, where he lives to make intercession for us. Hebrews 7:25. He is our advocate. He is pleading our case before the Father. 1 John 2:21. He is the one mediator between God and man. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5. And my beloved, there is no access to the Father except through him, John 14 and verse 6. We're not called upon to go through any human as a priest. We cannot go through any human being. We approach God through Christ. This practice of Romanism, of praying through Mary or certain saints, that's all born of apostasy and departure from the truth regarding the high priesthood of Jesus Christ. Through him, we can come with boldness, meaning confidence, to God's throne and mercy and grace. We can obtain the help we need. Hebrews 4 and verse 16. And my beloved, Christ is priest, and Christ is also king now. He is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. He was priest and king at the same time. There is no question but Christ is priest. And since Melchizedek was king and priest at the same time, and Christ is after the order of Melchizedek, Christ is king and priest at the same time, how can he be a king if he has not already established his kingdom, as the premillennialist would falsely tell you that the kingdom is yet to come? Friend, the doctrine of premillennialism not only robs Christ of his kingship, it robs him of his priesthood. Jesus, however, is high priest, but he's high priest only to those who come to him. Have you believed in Christ? Repented of your sins? Confessed your faith in Him and been baptized into Christ? Until one does that, he has no priest. He has no avenue of approach to God, because Christ is the way, and He is the high priest. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.